Welcome again. Thank you for pausing and savoring this that we are. So I always like to confirm that speaking is in celebration. There's no teaching. This that we are has no need to learn anything. So the invitation is always to notice what is. And each one of us is noticing uniquely and speaking about it uniquely. Each one of us is devotion, and devotion will also move uniquely and love what it loves. So what I definitely notice is here we are as freedom itself. Each one of us is formless, ageless, uncontainable, definitely unconditioned already, and yet we notice the remaining restlessness or the suffering in the mind or the emotions or even some sensations in the body. And what I love about those functions is that their original nature is to draw our attention to go be with them, yeah? So maybe when we were in role play, we were moving regularly away from everything that we didn't like, and that was natural as well. But here, out of compassion, out of just a natural kindness and also clear seeing that everything is this, there really is only an absolute oneness, we will draw nearer and allow things to come nearer so they too can know their true nature, so they also can rest. So nothing is what it appears to be, your colleague, your aunt, yeah, your children, they're not just what they appear to be, they're also an absolute mystery. And what I love about this getting closer, being curious, is that then everything gets to know their true nature. And that is such a gift to all beings, to our own embodiment, because everything returns to the felt sense, the kinesthetic sense of oneness. And there's a deep awe of satisfaction. Satisfaction that's felt down to the toes, and more of a felt sense of the constancy of presence that's always here, but with the play of movement and ordinary life and sensations and emotions and thoughts, it's sometimes overlooked that we are always here. So feel free to join this ancient conversation that life has been having with itself. Love to hear what you're noticing. So just to unmute yourself, *6, and then when it feels complete, *6 again to mute yourself.
Hi, Pamela. This is Drew Ann.
Hello. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to join with you and everyone, especially on Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been noticing and relating with the constancy of stillness. And sometimes I've been grabbing for it. You know, I've had this ongoing challenge with a neighbor, and So in the midst of my nervous system and mind, you know, hypervigilance and trying to problem solve with this challenge, I've been noticing little moments of internal stillness in the midst of my body's kind of tremoring. And so this morning with sitting in silence for, you know, the 15 or whatever minutes, there's a little sense, a little thin thread, so to speak, sense, kinesthetic sense of the stillness. But it seems like there's this rage, like a, you know, the roar of a waterfall or rapids of my body's tremoring at the same time of this little sense, this thin sense, so to speak, of stillness.
Yeah, whatever we put our attention on, and I'm sure you've noticed this, blooms, doesn't it? So the situation with the neighbor, of course, that's drawing the attention of the mind and of the heart and of presence. And so it's in the foreground. So here is stillness. And just put your full attention on that as devotion and gratitude, or as also present stillness.
There's a sense of dropping in broader with that, just welcoming and focusing.
Yeah.
Really kind of non-focusing, I guess.
Yeah, and just marinate there for a moment or for forever. Just letting every cell drink. Everything's made of stillness, so the body's resonance will be for stillness, space, safety, because that's what everything's made of. So here it is, can drink right from itself, its unadorned self. And just letting the protective services, the nervous system, the vigilance in the eye thought or the mind, just let it know it's safe to rest. Because you're the resident sage and it'll trust you. Because the main misunderstanding in the conditioning is that relaxation equals some sort of lessening of awareness. And it's actually an innocent misunderstanding. Rootedness and relaxation, this natural expansion, supports the clear seeing, the noticing. And what is noticed in this moment?
There's quite a bit of physical sensation of heat, specifically in the center of the chest, the heart chakra, and there's they're like Mexican jumping bean thoughts where the thoughts will pop out with what I can't trust this, I can't sit still, I can't let go, and then there is letting go, and then there's a little thought that pops up.
And just bowing to thought for a moment.
There is a sensing of this stillness and pervasiveness of calm. But I can't say I'm sensing it. I don't know how I'm sensing it because my body's not calm.
Is it accurate to say there's some unwinding in the body mind?
Well, it could be.
Yeah, even if it's a little bit, we want to thank it. Since everything is formless, like your nervous system is formless and thought is formless, sensation is, emotion is, presence is, the body doesn't know any other way of protecting other than tightening.
Yes, that's
brilliant. And that's such a good word because it sends a distress signal. As soon as there's tension, tightening, protection, there's stress in the distress, right?
Yeah,
so you're noticing that you are the calm. And you're just noticing that something is moving to defend through contraction, which is a sort of a kinesthetic armoring, and it's all very natural. In the animal tribes, they have their own way of curling up, or the head in the sand, or the camouflage. So there's no deficiency in this movement. It's a natural movement. But we want to help it discern, because otherwise it's overly enthusiastic.
That was exquisite. That's it, exactly. The clarification of formless, recognizing form and form just innocently, pulling up contraction, protection.
Yeah. And, only a sage would thank all these sort of ancient uncomfortable habits inside. So just for a moment, there you are. How noble to protect, to defend, to contract. It actually isn't functional, so to speak, because you're still feeling everything. Yeah?
Yeah, there's still acute vigilance in the contraction, so it's
a ceremonial protection, because right behind tightness is this natural receptivity that's feeling everything that's happening. So the contraction was also designed to defend you as the treasure of presence or essence, but it was also trying to keep the pressures of life away from you. Yeah?
Yes.
Trying to shield you, and needless to say, you're still feeling everything. Plus, now you're wearing armor, so. So we just start thanking for no reason. Oh, there you are. Well done. Thank you, thank you.
Yeah,
and then start honoring it as pure strength, because it's actually remarkable when you sit with it kind of neutrally. It's pure strength, the pure strength of presence of life that's contracting the vastness to make imaginary armor. So we're really thanking the strength, noticing the amazing strength in all of this, even in the nervous system, even in the indefatigable nature of the mind with its ideas and opinions and worries. This is some very impressive activity.
And I have a really strong kind of sense of the devotion. There's confusion with this. I don't know. The relaxation comes and goes, kind of like a scatteredness. So my interpretation was like a confusion of which side to rest on, the contraction or the letting go, and the innocence of that kind of scattered fear devotion. I mean, I can just sense the innocence of of the trying to be loyal, trying to protect, trying to
yeah, beautifully said. Yeah, and then just more devotion and gratitude. This is from Papaji. He said, approach everything with devotion and gratitude inside. Because when it feels honored, it'll relax and open, and then we can help it discern. But if it's, you know, in its swirling, restless, defending, you can't have a heart-to-heart with it or help it discern.
Yeah, there is quite a bit of relaxing, opening, actually, is a better way to put it, physically with this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for staying with it. That's this timelessness that we are when it really stays present unmovingly, respectfully. Everything just liberates itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is a unraveling, so to speak, of all that tension.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of space.
Nicely said, yes.
Space is unraveling in space.
Ah, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pamela. That was exquisite. Thank you.
Mm. Hi, Pamela. It's Carrie.
Hey, welcome, Carrie.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. And what you were saying to Joanne is so, it kind of, it just permeated me, but I don't seem to be able to get myself to the relaxing part of it. The thoughts of the chaos in different areas, you know, of my life just create this, well, I guess what happened was it just created, like, a very achy tummy and body, and so that's what I've had from it, all this contracting.
Yeah.
And I just don't seem to be able to quiet.
Yeah, well, we always start with where we're at. Yeah.
And I don't like it.
Yeah, and we start with that. That's so, I love that. I love that confession. I'm a very strange sage, but it's one of my favorite confessions. I don't like this. Yeah, and really honoring that that's how it feels in the moment.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And then see what's asking for your attention in this moment.
The thoughts would like, I would like, or they would like to rest.
Yes, beautiful. So this is also a rare confession from thought. It also wants to rest. Yeah. So invited the mind or thought to notice that in its function as, you know, worrier, organizer, private, you know, personal assistant, that it can't rest when it's in that role. Can it notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe
how do you get out of the role?
Well, it doesn't have to get out of the role because the role is just a function. So invite it to look at who it is behind its role or job or who is it really? And it doesn't have to know. It can just look behind the scenes, so to speak, or into its essence.
Yeah, it doesn't know.
Right, okay. And ask it to look behind I don't know and any I can't, because those are also forms or functions.
How do you do that when the mind just keeps chattering? How do you
Is it chattering in this moment?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So ask it what its deepest longing is. Because on the surface it wants to fix everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's, hey, it would be great if it could. But ask it what its deeper longing is. If it could fix everything and bring chaos into harmony, and what would that give it?
Peaceful, quiet.
Yeah.
Gentleness. Just.
Oh, what a gorgeous mind to have that longing.
Mm.
Can you sort of honor that? Sounds like a heart. Now, it was trained if it organized circumstances and made peace, you know, with colleagues or family members, or, you know, vanquished its to-do list,
mm-hmm.
then there would be peace in some future weekend moment, if it was lucky. But it wants the real deal. It wants to live its naturalness. So just inviting it to notice it also is formless, pure intelligence, pure creativity. We're honoring its essence rather than all of its functions.
I don't think I understand.
That's okay. So, Just like in a computer, so the body, we could speak of it as a biocomputer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and here is this amazing, amazing bundle of bright, shiny intelligence that can maintain, you know, tens of opinions. It's like a juggler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we overlook its essence. We notice all of its services. But can you notice its nature is intelligence? Its nature is givingness, service?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all we're doing is kind of noticing that and adding a little gratitude.
Well, that feels very comforting. I wish I could stay in that
okay.
very quiet place.
Yes. But do you notice how it soothes the mind very quickly? A little respect, a little noticing. My goodness, you're pure service, pure intelligence, pure creativity. And it goes on. It relaxes and opens.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Okay. Yeah.
It does.
Because we were honoring its heart, really, its essence, rather than its form and function. It's just like, you know, all of us, we really resonate with when somebody notices who we are. You know,
yeah.
Our unique essence and sort of twinkles at us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's that, I see you. So that's all we're doing inside. Because the mind has been used, but not honored. So the mind didn't let go and it didn't hold on. Just, we cut through all of that polarity just through sincere noticing and some gratitude.
Devotional.
Yeah. Who would have thought it could be that simple?
Definitely not the mind.
Well, it was trained. I mean, it's also, that's another proof of its genius, that it's pure intelligence, which is an absolute simplicity, undivided intelligence. But it also can be so exquisitely ornate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We're just really honoring its range. Here it can just rest. And then it also can be just this highly functioning, practical intelligence, very creative, very in the moment.
So is it possible to take this gentle, quiet space, and when you have to emerge and go out there and deal with life, to be able to come really from that place?
Yes, why not? That's your heart's longing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, so if you say yes, just confirm that.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it's life then is meeting life. Stillness is meeting itself. Yeah?
Yeah. Yes.
So there's no more of that sense of separation and shielding and then trying to function through that or along with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
yeah,
you don't have your own unique way of living that.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, dear. Thank you for staying with that.
Oh, I'll be calling you on a private talk about this one.
Okay. All right, dear.
Thank you.
Much love.
Love to you, too. Bye.
Hi, Pamela. It's Mark.
Hey, Mark.
So, I guess this will be a little bit of an unusual observation about the collective.
Lovely.
But I was reading something about how much mass surveillance they're doing and building these, you know, infrastructures. And it occurred to me that's just another way that form is imitating awareness.
It's so true.
You know?
It's so true. And even the I thought likes to maintain surveillance on presence.
So, you know, it's, yeah, when you see it that way, it's not, you know, this, anxious, you know, thing that maybe you would, you know, yeah. So I just wanted to share that.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. Yeah, this is why I'm so invoking everyone as the one sage to liberate the one mind, so it can relax that sort of worried surveillance. Oh, my goodness.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I always love your unique offerings and view.
Hi, Pamela. It's Rosie.
Hey, Rosie.
How are you?
Good, good, good. And you?
I'm good. Today's, you know, a little tired, the fatigue and whatnot, mm-hmm. but I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be seeing you in Ireland.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Fun. So,
yeah. You know, I wanted to ask, and it's been coming up a lot for some time, is, and the question shows up in different ways, but it's typically the same. Who knows stillness? I'm not sure.
Who knows stillness? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's confusing because if it's still, you know, well, stillness, like who's witnessing?
Who is that?
What is it finally? Like, be done already.
I know. Well, the funny thing is needs to say all those different words and labels, you know, it's just so we don't use the same word over and over and over and everybody falls into a deep rest out of boredom. But I don't know, as far as I can tell, who we are is spaceless space. And I'm using Robert Adams' little phrase. Instead of just space, he said spaceless space, so we don't conceptualize it. But, you know, we're this immense openness, and it's pretty unadorned. Have you noticed that?
Well, you know, I don't, it gets confusing because the going out and coming back is still happening, so then I'm getting more moments, and I've had glimpses of watching that. Mm-hmm. And when I am able to, yeah, there's no attachment, there's nothing. But I don't, like you say, stabilizing it. You know?
Well, you're stabilized as space. I mean, you're that which everything is coming and going in. Does that resonate?
Sometimes. but it gets tricky for me because just as when I'm having a lucid dream or if I'm waking up and I'm still not awake and still sleeping, that in-between state, I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. So
that's
it gets
right.
a little scary. It gets a little confusing. And then the confusion and the scariness doesn't allow me, I guess. I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know why it just doesn't end already. You know?
Well,
I guess maybe I'm afraid.
Yeah, it sounds like that confused, scary crystallization just needs a little help discerning that there's no threat, that nothing is going anywhere. You know,
so, yeah, maybe it's a misunderstanding of
well, it has this idea that there's some existence, non-existence, polarity, and none of that is true.
Yeah, see, it gets, confusing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I'm wondering if you're not noticing the play between the ordinary and the extraordinary. I mean, here, meaning that your space, presence, stillness, and you're noticing all the
yes, I do.
Happening.
Uh-huh, absolutely. Yes, I do. That's what I mean by I come and go. And then I, that's what, so who's witnessing that witnesser? Anybody?
Well, there's no person, so to speak, but you could call it the supreme intelligence. Robert Adams would call it Brahman. Yeah?
So
that's
so you're
who
being
we
visible?
Are. Huh?
Oh, okay. All right. So you are just that presence, and there's just that's it. There's nothing else to...
Yeah, and everything else is that, of course, but some of it hasn't realized that yet. But, you know, it's kind of fun to have that contrast between
contrast.
Here you are, this neutral, no thing, everywhere present, timeless, ageless, you know, you're not even really human, so to speak, and you're not divine either. That's another polarity. And then you're noticing, oh my God, you know, you're desperate for soup. How cool is that?
I know, because you could be all of the things.
That's it. That's it.
None of the things.
And life evidently really is all yes about that. Gets to be an elephant and a tree and a mountain and a galaxy and spaceless space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe just invite the file or the seeking app. Just say thank you. Let's all rest now. We're here.
Okay.
Yeah.
'Cause I am tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Resting gets to rest now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always comes there, and it's funny, I just realized, I don't know how, but my Sufi name is Muniba, and the name given to me, and it means the return, the one who's returning to Allah, yeah, so, there you go.
There you
All right, excellent, thank you, I'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Okay,
much love.
Same to you.
Hi, this is Mary from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Welcome.
Thank you. So I have a situation in my life that's been unraveling for several years now, and it began after my granddaughter was born, and I began to notice how hovering, overprotective, and at times too aggressive I felt my son-in-law was with his child. Fast forward to more recently when I realized how hovering and overprotective and worried I was about her and about him. So I could see the mirroring. But the thing that triggered me the most was he has an anger and an aggression in him that was very disturbing, that allowed me maybe a year and a half ago to get in touch with the little girl in me that had experienced that, that had shut that away. So I just got to be present to my own pain that I had when I was younger, experiencing that type of rage and anger thrown, put upon me. And now I've moved and live closer to them, so there's an opportunity for even deeper discovery. And what happened recently was I observed him. She's four now, and he said something. She was doing something that was rather benign, and he got triggered. And I just watched him from the other room, and he, you know, when if you're watching a movie and guys get angry with each other and they grab the shirt of the guy and they stick their face, you know, with two fists and they stick their face in the other person's face and just all this anger comes up. So I watched him grab this little child with two fists on her shirt and whatever he said to her. And then he threw her over his shoulder, which he's wont to do, and took her upstairs and put her in her room and slammed the door. And what was interesting was something had moved enough in me that I watched it. I was not terrorized. I was not emotional. I might have been disconnected, but I feel like I've processed a lot through. And so I had been struggling watching this whole pattern, struggling with is there something for me to say to my daughter? Is it mine to protect this little girl from future violence? And then the possibility of that. And then I went into my head with, well, you know, everybody's on their own spiritual path and everybody's serving each other and this is not my business. But I continued to get triggered. And so after, this last episode, I felt the movement in me to say something to my daughter. And I did. And and then there was a letting go. And there is this spaciousness now around, okay, whatever will happen. But what actually arose as I was getting ready for this call is what's really coming up now is as I watch my daughter and I watch her, not seeing what's going on around her, I watch her making an excuse. I understand all of that because I know that when I was raising my children, there was a lot of stuff that I stuffed down, disconnected from, denied, pretended wasn't happening, didn't have words for how to communicate what was in my soul and what was so painful for me to watch the way that their father parented them. So what's actually coming up now is an opportunity for me to discover how to forgive myself.
Okay.
For how I showed up and for how I didn't show up. And I understand intellectually I did the best I could.
Can we stop for a second?
Sure.
Yeah. Just for a moment, just notice if your nervous system has gotten activated.
Oh my gosh. I'm working to keep myself in my body.
Yeah. Now just bow to your nervous system for a second. You know, supposedly according to the story about the Buddha, his great realization happened when he heard the music teacher talking to the student on the riverbank, inviting the student to not keep his strings too tight or too loose. And if this is the great misunderstanding in the human tribe, is that tight strings are protective and will actually enhance awareness and vigilance and safety. It's one of the core misunderstandings, and it's a kinesthetic misunderstanding, and it keeps getting passed down from generation to generation. And it's the cause of your son-in-law's reactivity, and it's the cause of your daughter's strings being too loose. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So just in this moment, just to even the familial one nervous system, just soothe it, and that'll also include the little granddaughter, mm-hmm. whose strings were perfectly balanced until she encountered human reactivity. Just soothing that ancient misunderstanding. Because this is how sages work from within. And of course, you'll be practical and you'll notice what's needed or how you're being invoked from moment to moment. But this is our greatest gift, is to work from the substratum, from the heart of everything, to bring this natural stillness, natural safety, natural soothing into the field. And it, you know, the saying in India is that it loosens the strings 10 generations back and 10 generations forward. Yeah? Does that resonate?
Yes.
Yeah, so once again, to reactivity itself or to the defenses, and they're completely impersonal functions just designed to support survival. They're like apps. That's how I see them now. But they're all too tight in the human tribe. And then the I thought keeps tightening the strings so they don't get too loose. And we're just noticing these misunderstandings. You can also bow to your son-in-law now. Because I'm sure he's a very decent guy until he gets overwhelmed. Bow to your daughter and your granddaughter, and we don't want to spiritualize everything away. I mean, do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And I have been turned around back to just come back into my body,
mm-hmm.
and to discover how to be present. And, you know, as you're talking and what I'm sensing, before I got on the call thinking about this was, or being with this, was just my heart just wants to open. But first it wants to open to me. I have bowed to my son-in-law. I bow in gratitude for the gift that he gives me, but I'm noticing just what you named, this tremendous primal fear of.
Yeah, you want to liberate that in you, and then also then you can attend to your granddaughter and help her discern. There's a lovely little book you can get that Eckhart wrote for children. And you'll find it by Googling on, or checking on Amazon or something. But it'll help her. You can read it. It's a lovely little children's book. So she'll know it's not personal when Daddy gets upset. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I agree. First, liberate your aversion to anger and rage and reactivity. Until you make peace with it in yourself, because they're all generic apps. Everybody got given them equally. Somehow, in the masculine part of the tribe, they're more comfortable with, you know, the big strength that is anger and reactivity. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate?
Yeah, I was shown one day she annoyed me, my little granddaughter, and I grabbed her by the arm and I thought, oh, look, you too.
Yeah.
This lives in you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we want to liberate it because the defenses are made of pure strength. And the great sutra from India is that we are already free and we are omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent right now. But our omnipotence is in our defenses. So we want to invite the defenses. And those are all the coping strategies as well, and the spiritualizing everything away, and so that you are mountain strength and rooted and huge. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And then your son-in-law will actually relax around you. He'll feel supported by your mountain strength. And you don't have to say a word. That's often more skillful. So just in this moment, bow to what you call anger or protective, the protective defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Just inviting them to uncontain themselves. When they're uncontained, they're absolutely harmless. Omnipotence is harmless. When it's contained and suppressed, it can effortlessly react.
The best I can do is just continue to breathe, because I know that I don't know how to do what you're talking, so I'm just breathing with everything and feeling the body.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful, Satsang. But just in this moment, can we invite anger and reactivity to have satsang with you as breathing?
Barely.
Okay, is it because something feels threatened?
Yes, I noticed that I'm frightened by it.
Oh yeah, now that's, can you honor that response?
That's
actually clear seeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you and I were walking in the woods and we saw a grizzly bear rising up on his hind legs, we would, as clear seeing, find a way away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so now thank that response. That's a very honest, natural response.
Yes, and I would say that I see that there has not been permission to feel what I feel.
Okay.
So I thank you for that gift of reminding me that my hesitation to welcome this, what feels overwhelming, that is okay in the moment, and that's okay.
Yeah, now and the best part is to sit with it when it's not really in your face, or you're not, you know, noticing it in the family dynamic, and just to smoke the peace pipe with it.
Mm.
And And you can just invite anger here, and you can just tell it, you know, you scare me, and I know it's a healthy response. And just, it's like have a heart-to-heart with it. And you can ask it, what's your function? What gift are you trying to give me? Or,
oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Because it also is presence, but just in a different costume. And then invite it to come back to its naturalness, and it'll actually relax in the field. I also have my birth family. One of the parents was very powerfully okay with anger, and the rest of us weren't. So, and then I noticed that when I was little, I had these terrible temper tantrums, you know. And then I realized, oh my goodness, we all have, it's like nature gave itself all the weather. It gave itself the sunny, balmy days, and it gave itself the thunderstorms, and it, you know?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Yeah, so we really want to smoke the peace pipe with anything you have an aversion to. And we're stronger for it. We know ourselves as mountain strength because we've sat with it. In the safety of your own home, all alone.
Yeah, and I can feel, you know, the question, what are you really and what do you need and why do you show up?
Gorgeous, gorgeous. And then once you're peaceful with it in your ecosystem, then you can start to honor it in your son, and it'll actually start to liberate in your son. And only reason I'm your son-in-law, I'm convinced about this, is because I did it with my dad.
Yeah.
Because everything responds beautifully to respect.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, dear. Thank you for bringing that here.
Thank you for having the space for me to do that.
Oh, my pleasure.
Pamela?
Yes.
Oh, it's Ken in Connecticut.
Hey, welcome.
How are you?
Great.
I was, what I've been sort of, I guess, struggling with a little bit lately is this, the sense of knowing the presence and the stillness, and yet constantly being drawn onto that train of my mind, and then suddenly I realize I'm being carried away.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's some irritation with someone or just some fantasy, but it's like I don't seem to be able to not get onto that train. So, you know? Very annoying.
I'm sorry, I love trains. I mean, I love physical trains. I'm not so crazy about the trains of thought. So
No, I know.
In accord with you. So it's just because the mind within you is so ripe to realize its true nature. That's why it's bugging you.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's certainly doing a good job.
Very good. So in this moment, ask it if it would like to know and live its true nature. So it's like you as presence are asking the mind as presence, would it like to return to its unconditioned naturalness?
Well, that's interesting. Initially, I would have said yes, but there's a kind of a maybe or I'm not sure kind of a...
That's it, and that's very honest from the mind. So ask it what its concern is, because it probably has some innocent misunderstandings about living its naturalness.
It's something to do with protection.
Okay, very true, yeah.
Feels like that's what it is. Or, I mean, the other word that comes up is kind of boredom.
Right, you know? Exactly, yeah. So here we have protection, containment, contraction, and then the other opposite, if I relax totally, I'll be bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just honor that for a moment.
How many? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And ask it to look behind those two options. That's a duality. It's either going to be tight and protected and busy, mm-hmm. or it's going to be relaxed and bored.
Mm-hmm.
So behind those options, just invite it to peek or look.
Well, it's not so much words don't come up so much as a picture of stepping out a doorway and suddenly seeing the horizon.
Gorgeous, yes.
Like, you know, space over the ocean, you know, where it seems to just go on forever. It's like
gorgeous. And just confirm that, yes, 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 that's who you are.
Hmm. Well, then it feels slightly anxious.
Okay, so now we want to stay with it. It's your, I think of the mind as our student at this point, and ask it what its concern is about living as space, infinite horizon.
Something about, like, being lost somehow.
Okay.
This is so big, I'll be lost.
Yes, yes, and what an authentic concern.
Hmm.
And ask it if it can notice it's equally vast and still present when it uncontains itself. Whatever it says is okay.
Well, it's less words and more sort of a almost the feeling it's impossible to be both.
Okay, yeah.
Sort of so there's this huge vastness. If I'm that, I can't be this, you know, contained, smaller. It's like the paradox. I can't, it's one or the other is what it feels.
Right. Now, it's very accurate noticing on part of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So all we're doing is inviting it to notice it can come out of its containment, because that was just a protective habit.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't lost any practical creative intelligence, has it? Can it notice that? Sky mind. Big mind.
Yeah, I think.
Mm-hmm. So there's no rush, and it doesn't have to decide or sign a contract or anything like that. We're just inviting it to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
So could
what comes up is fluid or not fluid. You know, it's sort of like, okay, so there's this expansion. I can actually feel my body feeling a little more expanded. But then, wait a second, these bones and flesh aren't as fluid as what it feels like. You know what I mean?
Yes. But can it notice that form and formlessness are not two? We're just inviting it to be curious about that. Once again, it doesn't have to believe anything or decide.
Mm-hmm.
Inviting it to check it out. Here it's noticing itself as pure intelligence. And it's noticing that the bones and the body have more form.
Hmm.
And the human word for it is they coexist, but they're actually one.
Mm-hmm. Well, what comes up is, I've experienced this before. It's like I have to drop away from the viewpoint in which everything has been previously seen and integrated. It's like
yes.
The viewpoint then is not located in one spot.
Very true. Beautiful satsang. Yeah. So we're inviting the mind to notice it is the big view. Before it thought it was like a Milky Way of viewpoints. Just noticing where is the deeper pleasure? Just inviting that incredibly bright, shiny intelligence that is the mind to notice what would allow it abiding pleasure. How would it like to live?
Well, the sort of viewless viewpoint, or the not the small point, but the more pleasurable spot, or I don't know, it's hard to describe it. It's not really a place, but the more pleasurable is the sort of inclusive, not one particular way of seeing things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this
actually feels, there's almost like a felt sense of pleasure.
Yummy. And just confirm that. Yes, yes, yes. How wise you are, dear mind, to live your naturalness.
Yeah, it's like there's a greater sense of, like, the nervous system starting to relax a little bit more.
Absolutely.
And yet there's still a slight, I don't know how to describe it, like holding on or, okay,
yeah.
I can relax this much, but full relaxation, I can't quite get there.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? It's like having to hold on to something.
Right.
You know? It's like swinging out on a rope, and it's, you know, sort of like right at the end when you might let go to drop into the water. It's just holding on. Well, I'm not quite sure. I'm out here hanging over the water.
Yeah, and we're just once again inviting it to honor its own integrity and resonance and check it out for itself. What's really true? Is there any threat really in living its naturalness? Because here the mind was scaring itself with the non-existence story. And where could it go? It's life itself. It's the supreme intelligence.
Yeah, it's like just some slight holding on, just a little. I don't even know if it's trust. It's I don't know.
I'm just wondering if it would like to notice its unmoving, rooted constancy, if that would, because the holding on is sort of like a tether just in case kind of thing.
Yeah.
So ask this supreme intelligence if it can notice, though it's formless, it's rooted and here. Can it notice that? We're just inviting it to notice what is.
Yeah, and I've noticed that before. It's like there's a solidity that's different than the solidity that one usually.
Beautiful.
You know, it's it's weird because it's very solid and, you know, like you could stamp your foot on the ground, it's so solid. And yet it's not, necessary, it's not really made out of anything. So,
yeah, so clear. Thank you. Yeah, and really honoring, we're just inviting it to notice because our culture has, you know, there's a little assumption that formlessness is wobbly and frail and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet gravity is formless and all-powerful. So we're just inviting the mind to remember, and that's a kinesthetic word, it's not an intellectual word, to remember itself as this.
Mm-hmm.
Omniscience, but also omnipresence.
Mm-hmm.
An omnipotent, rooted, unmoving.
Yeah, the real sense of the ground, grounded. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and how does the head feel?
Completely okay.
Hey, so good.
Yeah, when this, I don't know, it's interesting, because when this aspect is more predominant, there's less sort of anxiousness, or there's less a sense of, oh, I can't let go, you know what I mean? It's like this.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a whole nother human innocent misunderstanding. That everything had to let go. So I have a new sutra, neither letting go nor holding on.
Right.
And it's like, ah. Doesn't have to even touch any of those.
Wow. Yeah. Huh. It's like going out to the edge of the universe or the horizon, and then I guess still being in touch with it but feeling completely solid and grounded at the same time.
Oh, gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Being able to see things as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And knowing its own strength, that way it can deeply rest now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's also deathless and eternal, so it doesn't have to worry about all that anymore either.
Wow, thank you.
Beautiful satsang, dear Ken.
Thank you very much.
So we have time for one more sage to... share.
Hi, Pamela. This is Diane.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for being here today. I really appreciate this, and for everybody that was willing to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
I've been noticing on this journey of unraveling back to the inner self or presenting the inner self that I still have an attachment to outcome and expectation, specifically in my long-term marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it, I observe it, I have times where I feel, oh, yes, I'm free, I understand, I see that, I see you. And I have other times where I just, you know, experience all the resentment, frustration, anger, all that
goes with
it.
Yeah. So we want to liberate any of the apps that are restless. Yeah.
Any of the apps?
Well, I think of, I'm a little bit the celebration of the sublime and the ridiculous. So I sort of see, lately I've been seeing the body as sort of the iPhone, and then you get all these apps.
Okay.
That come with the body, and you're going, who added these to my nice, clear?
I love it. Okay.
Yeah. So, and also I think of it as we're the resident sage, and we have an inner sangha. And some of the inner sangha members will be at rest and knowing their true nature, and then some of the others, you know, due to the past or some innocent misunderstandings or shocks, are not sure about resting yet.
Mm-hmm.
And still want to give helpful protective services, like worried love, and as you said, expectation. So just see who's coming to your satsang in this moment. Who has their hand up inside?
I'm not certain. It feels like an old familiar cloth that has just been a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
That is wanting to be noticed and recognized and just...
That's it.
Look at me, look at me.
Yeah, and can you just give it your full loving attention as presence?
Hmm.
And staying with it a few heartbeats longer than would be our universal tendency. And you can ask it what it needs in order to be safe, feel safe, or to rest, or what its deepest longing is, anything you're curious about.
Feels like it's saying to not be alone and to just be loved.
Okay, yeah, and how natural is that?
Mm.
Everything is born of love. That's its resonance, and now it wants to return, right?
Mm.
So just invite it nearer. And what is noticed?
Noticing an energy within and around that is similar to an accordion, where there's expansion and contraction.
Mm-hmm. And just honoring the mystery of that, just yes, yes, yes.
It's like it just disappears into the formless.
Yes, that's everything's longing, is to return back to its unconditioned naturalness. And just one drop of your compassion or kindness has presence, and it just found its way home, huh?
What it feels like in this moment.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you.
Oh. Thank you. Can we just do one more thing?
Sure.
Can we invite your partner here? Just honoring his true nature. And honoring the preciousness of your true nature, including yourself in this devotion and gratitude. Because a lot of the acting out of the inner conditioning and in our friends and family and colleagues' conditioning is just a call, often even a plea for it to see its true nature, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And as silent sages, we don't have to give Dharma talks or help anyone. We can do it all from within. Like an inner namaste, I honor the divine in you, if it's their conditioning or their mind or some restlessness within. Because everything is this, isn't it? Does that resonate?
It does, and I find it interesting. I feel like I can be present here now. And then, of course, I have those moments where I'm so far removed from this.
Yeah, but it only is because there's a movement of something to veil you or protect you, like a smokescreen.
Right.
Yeah. And they're so powerful, these movements, because they're animated by presence and consciousness and life. So if you notice the beginning of a contraction or a veiling or a smokescreen or some suppressing your natural energy inside, quickly thank it. Because if we move against it, it will contract further.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you just play with that, because you'll have your own unique inner satsang. From the sort of kinesthetic experience here, it's like pretty timelessly liberating to honor the true nature of everything before it gets really enthusiastic in giving you old-fashioned services.
Yes.
Thank you so much for staying with that.
Thank you.
And just the deep, deep oceans of gratitude to everyone here. Thank you for clarifying your own field and thus the field of your family and your community. Thank you for uncontaining yourself, so you're transmitting this deep substratum peace. And thank you, Kate, for hosting us, and to East Bay Open Circle for its endless love and feeding of this unfoldment in everyone.